And this is what the complaint was, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Ah, it's a problem here. You had one group in the church, the Greek-speaking Jew, saying, hold on a minute, this ain't fair. Why is it in the food line, is the church putting on provisions for the widows, and they've opened up the church, and there's a food line and tables set out with food, but seemingly those who were Hebrew-speaking, they were invited to come up first. Come and eat, Hebrew-speaking Jews, but the Greek-speaking Jews, you come last. Let the Hebrew-speaking Jews come first and get their share of the food. Imagine standing in line and you got there first, and then someone comes late and they see you standing at the front, and the person behind the till says, ah, hey, good to see you, come on up. And they just walk straight past you. Even though we're Christian, I'm sure some of us will be thinking, hold on a minute, that's not fair. Didn't you see me? I'm first. So this is what was going on here in the church. The Greek-speaking Jews, they felt some kind of way. They're saying, this ain't fair, apostles. We have needs too. Just because we are Greek-speaking, why should we be treated differently? So verse 2, let's see what happens. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So they brought the complaint to the apostles, and the apostles turned it back on them and said, no, don't come to us. It's not good for us to neglect preaching and praying to sort this out. But we need you to take accountability. What are you going to do about it? I know you want us to solve the problem as apostles, but what are you going to do about this problem? So here's the solution. Verse 3. Brothers and sisters, guys, if you want me to use another mic, I can use one of the other mics. This is a problem here. I don't want to cause too much disruption. I use a handheld mic. Yeah, I use that. Can you hear me? Hear me now? No? Okay. So the solution in verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you. So church, I want you to choose from among yourselves. Don't just come to us as the leaders, but we want you to choose amongst yourselves. Here it is. 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And this proposal pleased the whole group. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And verse 7, our key verse. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Amen? Amen. So here we see the first selection of the first deacons in the Lord's church. The word there, deacon, comes from the Greek word diakonos. It literally means one who waits on tables, one who is a servant. It's the same word that we get the word minister also from. So there's no difference, minister, deacon. It's one who waits on tables, one who is a servant. And here we see in the early church there in Jerusalem, there was a big problem. There was tension. Just like we shared last week, there was a problem in the church. But this time it wasn't groups and factions fighting against each other saying which leader is the best. But this time it was the widows in the church who brought their complaint to the apostles to say, we've been mistreated here. We have been treated unfairly. And we want something to be done about it. And as I was praying about this, church, I realized that there is two very important principles that you and I must observe as followers of Jesus, Christians, as believers in God. I've learned over the years in following God that there are two very important principles that sometimes we struggle with as believers. Because sometimes we look at the needs around us, we look at the problems in the world, we look, as Ken Day shared with us this morning, about poverty and children suffering, and sometimes people on the outside will even ridicule us as Christians and say, what you guys are doing is a complete waste of time. God can't be real. Why? Because why would God, if he is all-knowing, if he is all-loving, if he has agape love, unconditional love, then why would he allow innocent people to suffer? Why would he allow children to go hungry around the world? Why would he allow natural disasters, one that just took Jamaica by storm just recently? Why would he allow these things to happen in the world? Why would he allow senseless murders and young people to be mistreated and abused? We hear this all the time, don't we? People question our faith. They have questions about God. And they wonder, if God is real, if God is all-powerful, then why? Why would he allow these things to happen in our world? It's a very deep question, and it's a challenging question to answer. But I believe there are two principles that can help us to navigate the tension of those questions that we get asked. Number one, here it is. I want us to get this. If you've got a pen, write this down. Throughout life, every day, there are two very important principles that we must observe. Number one, here it is, divine sovereignty. Would you say that with me? Divine sovereignty. What that literally means, church, is that within God's nature, he is divine. He is sovereign over all things. He is the creator of all things, which means that he is large and in charge. He is in control of all things. You can't vote him into power because he already possesses all power. You can't vote him out of office because he is the first amongst all things. Simply put, here it is, God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants to do it. Why? Because he is God. He doesn't need our opinions. He doesn't need our vote. He doesn't need our consensus. God is God all by himself. And he doesn't need any help. So sometimes there is a tension between humanity and God, because sometimes we question God, well, why is this happening? Why is my loved one suffering with cancer? Why am I having to go through this difficult season in life? And we're asking and looking to God for the answers. But as Job found out, God doesn't owe us any answers. Why? Because within his nature, he is divine. He is sovereign. He doesn't need any consensus. But here is the key point. Although God is large and in charge, although God is sovereign over all things, although God is the creator of all things, he has decided within his own divine counsel to create us, here it is, with free moral agency, free will. So we have, number one, divine sovereignty, but we also have, here it is, number two, human responsibility. Would you say that with me? Human responsibility. So God is God all by himself. He doesn't need any help. He's all powerful, all knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time.
But he has decided to create us as human beings with the choice and the freedom to decide whether we want to follow him or not. He has not created us as robots. And he just presses the button and says, do as I say. Go here, go left, go right, do what I say, do, this is what I want you to do. No. He has created us with the ability to choose whether we want to follow his will or not. For example, we can pray with everything we have to say, God, in 2026, I want to get in better physical shape. That's divine sovereignty. Father, I look to you. Father, I seek your face. Father, would you, I plead, I want to be in better physical shape in 2026. That's divine sovereignty. But nothing is going to take place without human responsibility. God, I want to lose weight in 2026. And God says, okay, that's good. But in 2026, will you go on the treadmill? Will you do some Pilates? Will you join the gym? Because divine sovereignty, human responsibility. Maybe there's a young person who's learning to drive in this season. They're saying, well, I want to buy my first car. I can't wait. I'm going to start driving. God, I want a new car. I want to be able to drive, God. Lord, Jesus, please, in the name of Jesus, I want a car so I can drive. That's divine sovereignty. We're seeking his divine will. But human responsibility says, I better save. I better put some money aside. Can't just expect divine sovereignty. God is just going to drop a car out of the skies of heaven and deliver it right to my doorstep. Because it's divine responsibility and divine sovereignty and human responsibility. And we see this even from the beginning. Even the angels were created with free will. Do you know that the adversary of our faith was once a good angel? How many of you have read the story of Lucifer? He was an angel that was good at one point. But because God created the angels and human beings with free moral agency, with free will, he decided, he made the decision to say, you know what, I don't want to give worship to God, but I want to receive worship. So God says, no, there can't be two bosses around here. So he evicted him from heaven, kicked him out of heaven. And here it is, a third of the angels, they decided to follow Lucifer. And they were kicked out too. So we see, church, from the beginning, God has, that's the way he has designed things to be. Divine sovereignty, yes, he's in control. Yes, he's in charge. Yes, he superintends the earth, moon, and the stars. Yes, he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes, he's the creator of human beings. But he has given us human responsibility. Amen? So, if we have human responsibility, I believe the tension for us, whenever we observe the needs of our world, whenever we see people struggling and poverty and children who are struggling, as we've heard about today, I believe that yes, we ought to pray. Yes, we ought to seek God's face. Yes, we ought to invite God's sovereign power to intercede in these situations and bring relief. But I also believe that God may be looking at us, his people, and saying, yes, you want me to solve the problem, but humanity, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, you're praying to me saying, God, solve the problem, but how about you change your prayer to saying, God, help me to be a solution maker. Help bless me so I can be a blessing to somebody else. Don't just bless me so that I can be blessed and sit down with a wealth of blessings, but help me so that I can be a blessing to someone else. Human responsibility. And we see this church here in this text when the first deacons of the church were put in place. The problem was those who had needs in the church, the widows, they felt overlooked. The Greek-speaking Jews felt overlooked. And first, initially, they went to the apostles of the church and said, guys, what are you going to do about it? But I love the apostles. They understood that they could not solve every single problem here on earth. And they looked at the church and the Greek-speaking Jews and said, you know what? I want you to choose from among yourselves. Yes, we need to do something about the problem. Yes, we must pray about it. But let's get to work. Human responsibility. Let's bring some relief to this situation. Choose from among yourselves men who are able to step into the gap. Women who are able to step into the gap, who are ready with human responsibility, recognizing divine sovereignty, to say, I will make a difference. I'm willing to get to work. I'm willing to help where I can. I'm willing to support where I can. Yes, I may not be able to solve every problem in the world, but the little I can do, even if it's 1%, I want to help. I want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, I believe, as we assess these take-home points today, as we assess the needs around us, as we look at the work of compassion and the great work that they are doing, trying to end poverty around the world, I believe, number one, we should not forget to look within for the solution. Yes, pray and ask God for wisdom, but we've also got to get to work and be willing to step out in faith. You remember the story of Peter when he walked on water? Yes, he was invited by Jesus, divine sovereignty, to walk on water, but first Peter had to step out of the boat. Human responsibility. Nothing would have occurred if Peter would have said, Lord, I want to walk on water. Lord, help me to walk on water. But Peter had to move. Peter had to do something about his desire and his prayer to walk on water. You've got to take the first step to get out of the boat. Remember that man that was born blind in John chapter 9? Jesus had the power to heal him of his blindness. But the Bible lets us know that he told the man, yes, I can heal you, but go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility, go and wash. Sometimes we're sitting and we're praying and we're saying, God, I want this. I want this to happen. And God is looking at us and saying, when are you going to move? Some of us have desires. I know we have members of our church who have desires that you want to be married. You want to find that soulmate. And I know from experience, praying those prayers. But divine sovereignty says, Lord, help me to find a soulmate. But human responsibility says, I need to do some looking. I need to do some seeking myself. The partner's not just going to, again, drop out of the sky. But men, we've got to have the courage and the confidence to go and approach a lady. How are you doing? What is your name? We've got to learn how to communicate. We just over-spiritualize things. This is not so deep, you know. It all starts with, hello, how are you? Do you like coffee? Do you like tea? What's your favorite color? It all starts. It's not. We don't have to be so deep and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and thou sayest and all this stuff. Hello, how are you? My name is Nathan. What is yours? Right? So divine sovereignty, human responsibility. And I love that about the church there Jerusalem, yes, the Greek-speaking Jews were overlooked, but the challenge from the apostles to the church was, choose from among yourselves. And you know, that is the same pattern that we follow in selecting deacons even today. Choose from among yourselves. Next week, if the Lord should delay his return, we will have our deacons' elections. And the reason why we choose from among ourselves is because we follow that very same pattern here in Acts chapter 6. Choose from among yourselves. So, number one, we have to look within for the solution. It's not about just God, I want you to solve the problem, solve all the needs in the world, but how can we partner with God? God, how can we get to work to make a difference in our community? It's going to take some effort. Human responsibility. But number two, here it is, desire to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Because although the call from the apostles to the church was choose from among yourselves, but the condition was not choose anyone. Yes, choose from among yourselves, but the condition was they must be those who are full of the Holy Spirit and with wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Yes, the task was to wait on tables. Yes, the task was to make sure that the food distribution line was sorted out and organized. That's what the deacons were called to do back then. But yet still, although it was a practical task, the apostle says they must be full of the Holy Spirit. They must be full of wisdom. And the same applies for us today, because you don't have to be an official deacon of the church to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. All of us who want to serve the Lord in any way, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we also need to be full of wisdom. So that when we are working for Him, when we are moving and doing the things of the Lord, we're doing so under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and not just doing things in our own strength. Do you remember that the apostles, once Paul and his companions, they wanted to go into Asia and preach the gospel? And it says the Holy Spirit blocked them. These were apostles and ministers that were full of the Holy Spirit. They prayed earnestly. That's what they told us here. We want to devote ourselves to prayer and the word of God. But even they got it wrong at that point. They wanted to go into Asia. They thought they were doing the right thing. But because they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit said, no, 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 I don't want you to go there. Now is not the right time. And they listened to the voice of the Lord. And sometimes we're doing this, we're doing that, we want to do this, we want to do this, but we're not sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, are you going to invite me into what you're doing? You're making all these decisions and you don't want my help, you don't want my guidance. It's like my mom used to say to me when I was growing up, if you don't listen, you will feel. Some of you didn't have a Jamaican parent like me. If you don't listen, you will feel. What that literally means is sometimes because we're not listening to wisdom, we're not listening to guidance, we will inevitably run into something that will teach us the lesson, and the lesson is a lot harsher. If you listen first, you don't have to experience the harshness. How many of you have been there before, right? We've all been there. But I also want to say here briefly about this. Yes, we desire and we must, if we want to be servants of the Lord in any capacity, whether it's a deacon in the church, whether it's a minister of the gospel, whether it's you want to be an evangelist, whatever you want to do for Jesus, yes, we have to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. But we also have to make sure that we don't become so restricted because we are looking for a clear sign from heaven. Sometimes we are so, we want divine revelation for every little thing. We want God to tell us the specifics of every single situation. I don't know about you, but it doesn't always work that way with God. Sometimes God gives us a full picture of things, but sometimes he doesn't. And we see that even in Scripture. Sometimes he only gives us a little glimpse. And we have to step out in faith and trust God along the way. And he reveals it to us step by step. Do you remember Abraham in the Old Testament? When the Lord tested his faith? And he took his son, Isaac. Do you remember? And he followed. He listened. He obeyed God. But he didn't have the full picture of what God had planned to do. God didn't want him to sacrifice his son. Although he told him to do that, he already had a sacrifice prepared. But he was testing his faith and his obedience. But Abraham didn't have the full picture. But the Lord revealed it to him step by step. So we must desire to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. But we also have to step out in faith. God will not always give us the full picture. We have to work in step with the Holy Spirit. He will lead and he will guide us. But third and finally, here it is, determine to see growth and also change. Can we say that together? Determine to see growth and change. The church were tasked to choose from among themselves. They selected these men to serve as first deacons of the church. But then something beautiful is mentioned. It says the church began to grow. More people came to faith in Jesus. The issues that the church had with these Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews, it was resolved. And now there was peace and harmony. Now the church was back on track. And they were all working together. And as a result of that, God sent growth. God sent change and transformation in Jerusalem. Isn't that good news? And it also lets us know that a great number of the priests in those days, Judaizers, they became obedient to the faith of the Lord Jesus. Because of what the church were doing, because of how the church was working together in unity and harmony, now priests who rejected the Lord Jesus and his message, now their spiritual eyes became open. And they began to see the good news of Jesus for themselves. As we fast forward today to our time and our generation, yes, as I mentioned earlier, the words of Jesus are true today. The poor you will have among you always. And we can change that also to say there will always be needs amongst us in every generation. But I believe that God is calling and equipping his church even now to have divine sovereignty but also human responsibility. So we can't just sit back and say, God, we want this, we want to see this, we want this, we want this, we want this. But I believe the challenge for us this morning is, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? It's one thing to pray about something, but are we willing to become the answered prayer? Remember James, the half-brother of Jesus, he taught us, faith without works is dead. And then he goes on to say, I will show you my faith by my works. We're not saved by works, but God has saved us to do good works and to make a difference for Jesus Christ. So as we pray today for compassion and for the children, maybe the need is that we can financially support the work of compassion and pledge to sign up for one of the children today. Maybe it's to support another charity, another work of ministry. Maybe it's to get active in the local church. Maybe you're not part of a group. You're not part of a ministry. You don't have to wait till next year to start serving. There's work for us to do right now. There's practical ways that you can get involved.
We need your help. Let's work together to build the kingdom of God so that we can continue to see change and transformation for the Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this short story that is so profound. That yes, there is divine sovereignty. You are in control. You are all powerful. You are all knowing. You are in control of all things. But you have charged us as your creation to have human responsibility. Even salvation, you have given us the freedom to choose. And even today, many criticize the Christian faith and say, well, how can you say God is loving if he will send people to hell? But we know that's not the truth. You do not desire to send anyone to hell. But it's only the free moral agency of humanity that will decide not to inherit the kingdom of God for themselves. Because the gospel has gone forth. And if any man or woman, boy or girl, wants to experience the fullness of salvation for themselves, they can decide. They can choose. They can make a decision for themselves to follow Jesus Christ. So I pray, God, for anyone here today who has not yet made that decision for themselves. They don't have to spend eternity separated from you. They don't have to experience all of that damnation. But they can come boldly before the throne of grace. They can come to Jesus Christ and to know the forgiveness and the pardon of their sins. So if there's anyone here today that wants to respond to the call of salvation, if there's anyone that wants to respond to the call to serve, to be a deacon, whether it's an official deacon in this church or a deacon in service, because we're all deacons at the end of the day. We're all servants serving the Lord's church. Help us to be people of divine sovereignty, but also human responsibility. So we love you and we bless you now. And would you help us, Lord, to continually make a difference for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back to close out the service in song. But if there is one here today, or two, or three, or four, or five, how many the Lord will call. There's anyone that wants to make a decision for Jesus today. Is there one today? Yes. You want to give your life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What is your name?
Catherine.
Don't worry. Crazy things happen in this church sometimes. Catherine. Isn't that wonderful news, church? Catherine wants to give her life to Jesus. Amen. Catherine, I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he has a great plan for your life. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And all we have to do is trust in what he has done for us. And believe that he loves us and that he has a great plan for our lives. So I pray, Catherine, today, as you open your heart to Jesus, that he will just fill you with his Holy Spirit and fill you with wisdom so that you will live for him from this day forward. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to close out with the fitting song, Everyone Needs Compassion, and then we're going to pray for Kembe and for compassion as we close the service. Please stand with me, church, as we sing Everyone Needs Compassion.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. of failures fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
And a chance to talk and share together as a family. If you don't have to rush off, please do join us. That will be great. So good to see Sula and Nuno with us. And new baby. Yes. Good to have you back with us. God bless you. And tonight is our worship evening. And so we look forward to tonight. If you can meet us here tonight for 6:30, it will be our worship evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time of sharing this morning. We thank you so much for Kende and for her ministry and her work, Lord, that she does on behalf of Compassion UK. We thank you so much that she's taken the time to be with us here this morning and to share with us about, Lord, the work and the contributions of many in this church that has been ongoing for many years, but also to shed light on the ongoing needs. And Lord, we pray that as we assess within our own hearts in ways in which we can get involved to support, we pray you'll just continually impress upon our hearts to do so. And if you are calling us to take on some human responsibility so that we make a difference, then I pray that we would, like Peter, get out the boat and step out in faith and allow you to use our steps to make a difference. Just pray that you'll continually help us, Lord, to be answers to solutions, answers to problems, whether they arise in this church or in our community or all around the world. Although we can't solve every issue, we pray that you would fill us of the Holy Spirit and wisdom in ways that in which we can make a difference, that we would be willing to say, yes, Lord, we will do so. We will work for you. So as we draw now this service to a close, but we never ever want to be dismissed from your presence. You will continually go with us throughout the course of this week. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you all. Please do have a chat with Kende if you can. She's going to be at the table here. Please do have a chat with her. God bless you.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. Spirit. turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Who could imagine so great a blessing? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? Then God of ages step down from glory to bear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has fallen, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, is that